Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ghouls. How is everybody? Or how are everybody? I don't know. I think is better on that one. But anyway, welcome to the show. Welcome to Doc Sludge's Toxic Cinema. Tonight's episode was supposed to be aired last night, but, well, things happened, mostly work and some crazy things. But we're here at 9 o'clock on a Wednesday night in the beautiful weather. And tonight we're going to be talking about John Wick 3 and a couple other little cool tidbits of TV and movies. And I have my guest and partner and awesome podcasting cohort, Carl. And he's going to tell us all about John Wick 3 because I have had no time to breathe and no time to get to a movie theater. So how was John Wick 3, Carl?
Well, first, let me set it up. So I'm now in New York City and living in Queens with a friend of mine. And I had to vacate the apartment on Sunday. I won't go into why. And so I hung out with my Orthodox Jewish friend, Arthur, and ended up having falafel and some good ice cream and things like that. And we decided to go to John Wick 3. Now, this was at his local cinema in Queens. And I've been in a year or so ago. I went to see a film in Manhattan. Would you believe $20 to go see a film in Manhattan?
I would, because when we went to go see Hellboy in Jersey, it was $13. So definitely,
yeah.
I can believe $20.
Yeah. Well, here in Queens, it was only $11 for an evening
nice.
Show.
I
can live with that. I can live with that. And so I really like the John Wick series. And the first one was just so good. And the one thing about the first one is there was this emotional core because they kill his dog and he goes back and he just like, you don't do that shit to me. Right? Well, the second one, you know, went on from there, and he ends up killing someone on the grounds of the Continental, the real bad guy, and then this one picks up right from there, and now he's marked for death, and everybody is out after him. And the action set pieces are great, okay? And this thing doesn't stop. But my biggest complaint about John Wick 3 is where's the emotional core? There's nothing there other than the set pieces and the people, you know, Angelica Houston is a new character. She's in it. Halle Berry is a new character. But it just seems to be tacked on, you know, action scene tacked on to action scene without much more than that. And so I found it a little tiring. Now, that being said, I have to give a shout-out. Keanu does a great job, as always. Halle Berry does a really good job. But the main bad guy, okay, is Mark Dacascos. And he's wonderful. He was in a lot of 80s films early 90s films. You know where you might know him best from, Doc?
I think I know exactly where you're going. Brotherhood of Wolves?
Okay, well, the Brotherhood of Wolves, yes, but even more so. Do you watch the Food Network at all?
Oh, yes, Iron Chef.
Yeah, he's the chairman for all the Iron Chef. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and
I love this guy. I love this guy, and he's so good. Also, if you know The Raid at all or The Raid 2, Mad Dog from The Raid is in it too as his number two guy, and just you know fantastic stunts, fantastic sword play and knife play and gun fu and all of that. And so is it entertaining? Absolutely. But for me, it was a little tiring because I just couldn't get into the characters. Now, one thing I will always say, and we went to see, you know, Hellboy also, you know, anything with Ian McShane is worth watching, period. And he's wonderful in this.
Excellent.
So it is a thumbs up, but I don't believe it's nearly as good as the first film.
That's understandable. I mean, I could definitely... was it the first or second film where his car also gets stolen? Or is that part two or part one?
That's part two. No, that's part two.
Okay.
Oh, no, part one
so
is the one where it gets stolen, yeah.
Yeah. So if his wife dies, his dog gets... his puppy gets killed, and his car gets stolen. Oh, yeah, that's an emotional rampage right there. And that's where we pull together. So I could, you know, it's kind of a bummer that it doesn't have a much emotional connection, like you were saying. But I've heard that the action is quite good from other people I've talked to.
Oh, the action is fantastic.
So,
it really
very
is.
Good. Very good. Excellent. I'm glad you enjoyed
it. So
that's
my mini review of John Wick 3.
Fantastic. Okay, so if you're looking at the webpage where I have this tonight's show listed, you're seeing something about Son of Godzilla and a Doctor Who story. Yes, that's true. Doctor Who and Godzilla and John Wick 3, all in one show. It's going to be pretty cool. Anyway, I would definitely like to talk about the Son of Godzilla because this month, actually next week, The Godzilla King of the Monsters, the American version, is going to be released upon the world with Mothra, Rodan, and Godzilla. Basically, it's like Destroy All Monsters or Ghidorah, 300 Monster, all combined into and modernized. And I've been hearing from a lot of people that it's like the monster mash, bash, clash we've been waiting for. So I want to keep the Godzilla theme going. Yeah. So, Son of Godzilla, many, many, many Godzilla fans cannot stand this movie. I know the reasons why. Well, it's because Minya, the Son of Godzilla, actually makes his first appearance in this movie, and then makes an appearance in Godzilla's Revenge, and Destroy All Monsters, and Godzilla Final Wars, and then the American Godzilla animated series from the 70s by Hanna-Barbera as Godzuki. Oh, God, it hurts. But anyway, back to Son of Godzilla. Son of Godzilla, to me, is one of the most fun Godzilla flicks out there. It's also one of the most complex, too, when it comes to special effects and direction of monsters and kaiju. Basically, it starts off with a cargo plane that's flying past Solgal Island. And they have some... radio disturbances, and they say it's like a brainwave, it's coming from this direction. And of course, Godzilla's going that way, so like, huh, I wonder if it's coming from Godzilla. It's not. Moving on. On Solgal Island, there is a group of scientists who are working with these chemicals and towers to create weather control. And the experiment has not started yet, and because of they're having some technical difficulties again with radio waves that resemble brain waves. And basically, I'm going to shorten this up a lot. Basically, reporter drops down onto the island to find out what's going on. And Godzilla actually shows up, and he's looking for something. And apparently, there's an egg of Godzilla species that's on this island, and along with giant mutated praying mantises called Chimacarus or Gigantus, depending on which area of the world you're in currently watching the movie. And there's also a giant spider. Yes, a giant eight-legged spider named Spiga. Now, just imagine this whole rumble in your head. You've got Godzilla. You've got the baby Godzilla, Minya, or Manure, many, many different names for one little critter. The giant mantises and giant spiders. And I bet you're asking, Doc, how in the world would they be able to create a mantis costume or a spider costume? Well, guess what, everybody? These are not costumes. These are marionettes. So you've got these, like, 10-foot, well, let's say between 7 and 10-foot long, 6-foot-high praying mantises that are marionettes. So that's about between 3 to 5 people per mantis, and there's 3 of them. Okay, so you've got 21 people operating 3 marionettes that are absolutely enormous. And then you bring in Spigo, which is a spider, and that's got 8 legs, and we're talking each joint has got a wire attached. So you have one person per joint moving these massive, absolutely massive marionettes in sync with each other to make one of the most realistic giant insects on screen with their movement that I have ever seen. And I know bug movies, okay? I've got tarantula sitting over here. I've got the deadly mantis over there. I've got them. These are some of the best animated marionettes of huge insects that you will ever see. And
so, Doc, can I interrupt for a moment?
Absolutely.
So did I hear you say one person, one joint?
Yes.
Can I
did.
Be on that movie set? That way I don't have to bogart. I can bogart it if I want.
There you go. I knew that was coming. So, yeah, you've got all these stagehands up in the rafters moving these giant, these big bugs. And then you've got, I'm not sure if it was Hiro Nakajima playing Godzilla in this film or not. Then you've got Little Man Chan as playing Son of Godzilla. And you've got their tail movements with those wires and everything. And flying boulders and stuff. It's technically impossibly insane, but it happens, and it's really, really impressive, honestly. So the weather experiments go wrong, and all sorts of chaos with the monsters and everything. And there are some touching scenes, besides not touching as in ugh, but touching as in heartfelt moments between Godzilla and Minya. And it's kind of like really sweetly, and I would definitely suggest it for kids. This was where the Godzilla films more went towards the children, and no, there is not a Kenny type actor in this. There are no children in the movie, thank God. But it's slightly annoying because of the noise that Minya makes. It sounds like somebody kicked a donkey, and I don't suggest doing that because that's just mean. But that's the sound that you get. So definitely it's kind of nerve grating for the older audiences. It's also the origin of many a nightmare due to Godzuki and Minya. But it's still fun. I mean, it will definitely entertain kids, and it kind of has a life lesson there for kids of, once again, standing up and protecting yourself and loving your family. That's a big thing. So that's all I got for Son of Godzilla. What do you think, Carl?
Cool.
Have you seen it? Oh, thank you.
I mean, it's been a while, Doc, since I saw it, but oh yeah, I'm very, very familiar with it, and I do love Godzilla's son. Of course, I keep thinking of Godzuki. You know, I hate using that name.
Unless you talk about
his favorite dish, and that would be God Sukiyaki. But that's another question.
Nice, very nice.
Hey, listen, I had to. You know that. But the Godzilla films, I love Godzilla. I always have. And they're wonderful. Whatever series you're talking about, this is the original series, and I remember loving his son. Just adorable as a kid.
Yeah. Oh, and I forgot to mention that Minya blows atomic smoke rings. So, he does get the atomic breath when his tail gets stomped on and when it's needed the most. So, that's cool. And it's a cute little movie, and it's family friendly, without a doubt, except for Spiga is very scary because people are creeped and skeeved out by spiders. So that you might want to be careful of this one, showing it to kids, like young children. So, okay, that leads into Doctor Who. Oh, boy. There's a lot of Doctor Who going on over the last 40-some-odd years. And I'd actually like to start way, 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 way back at the beginning of Doctor Who. The first Doctor, played by William Hartnell. Now, I made a promise to myself that I will watch every single episode in existence of Doctor Who before I kick the bucket. I don't plan on kicking anytime soon, so I got quite a while to do it. So I ended up watching the first series with the first Doctor, William Hartnell, and I did not know the structure of the Doctor Who show. I was under the impression that when you get into Doctor Who, each half hour show or episode was self-contained. It's no. not. It's like a one-third or one-fourth or in some cases one-tenth of an episode. And each one of these is 30 minutes long. So the first episode is An Unearthly Child, which introduces Doctor Who, his granddaughter, and their companions. And I was kind of thrown off a little bit, not because it was black and white, but because the Doctor, to me, is very unlikable. He's arrogant. He doesn't explain anything. He's very brash, and he doesn't think things through or think about the consequences of his actions. And I'm sitting here going, really? This is Doctor Who? Because I grew up during the time of Tom Baker. So I saw when I was a kid some of the Tom Baker episodes, and I liked the way that he did things. Now, going all the way back to William Hartnell, it's just like, what the hell? But anyway, the first episode is basically an introduction to characters, and they accidentally go back in time or to a different timeline where they arrive in an ice age. And, of course, there's, you know, the cavemen. Now, these cave people, I should say, because there's women too, they don't exactly talk like, you know, Ugg, Fu, Me, Fubunga, Crunch, blah, blah, blah. No, it's just like, you know I'm caveman because I talk really loud. Okay, Bobo. And, of course, you know,
Of course, it's all in an English accent, too. Let's not forget that.
I was just going to say that. And they're very gruff about things. They're like, what's your name? I am old woman. Okay. I was not asking for a description. I was asking for your name. That is my name. Oh, old woman. Okay, sure. So basically, and I've also noticed with the first series here that the female characters are kind of used as kidnapping fodder. And, well, they scream a lot, and they really don't do much besides scream a lot and become...
Oh, we'll be talking about that in a second. It's funny. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, in future episodes and future shows, the women characters became very strong. They would be able to, you know, figure... They'd go to the rescue. They'd kick some butt if they need to. They karate chop a bad guy through a wall. You know, they were tough, but very feminine and also very useful. Where, oh boy, not so much. But go ahead on that, Carl.
Well, you know, so you're talking about the first classic Doctor, Hartnell, and you go into Troughton, you go into Baker, Pertwee, and then... I'm staying with a friend of mine, and he's got BritBox. So we started with some of the Colin Baker episodes. Not a big fan of Colin Baker. His companion is named Mel, and she's a screamer. Okay? After Colin Baker comes my favorite doctor and my favorite companion. And each doctor is different. Okay? You're right. Hartnell is pretty gruff. You know, Pertwee has the car and is like, sort of a mod guy, you know, Carnaby Street, that sort of stuff. You have Tom Baker. Colin Baker is just a ditz. I didn't like him at all. But Sylvester McCoy is my favorite doctor of the classic doctors. And there are two things about him, okay? One thing is he is smart, and he's the chess player. He will, instead of attacking a foe or that sort of thing, he basically maneuvers them where he wants them to be, which is really interesting.
Right.
The other thing about him is he's very smart, and he also treats his companions really well. Now, so they start him off with Mel, but then comes Ace. Okay, Mel is a screamer. Ace kicks your butt. Ace will blow shit up. Ace does not take any. And it was the first real female companion that kicked ass. And this is at the end of the classic show. The last three seasons that she's on are the last three seasons of the show. And it's unfortunate they let it go from there for a while. But these two are a really good match. And the other thing about Ace is she's very, very much a tomboy. You know, you have a lot of these companions that are eye candy for the fathers. Yeah. Not in this case. Yeah, and when a person looks at her wrong, I think there's at least one groin kick I've seen from her. At least one. Okay? I love Ace. I fell in love with her. I ran across her when I was in New York in the 80s. This is during the 80s this was filmed, and the PBS station there was running it. And my favorite doctor, my favorite companion of all time, period. So, you know, thing is, each doctor is different, so you want to look at each one of them and figure out which one you like. But I'll tell you right now, Sylvester McCoy, I think, is the most underrated of them all. And Ace is definitely underrated, too. So there you go.
Yeah, I figured I'd start at the beginning, and I was kind of in for a little bit of a shock. But I'm definitely enjoying it. And I think I'll do like a review of probably like once a week around the same time we do the movie reviews and everything here on Cinema. Of a complete full episode. So I think I'm going to keep that up. And the episode I'm working on right now is the Daleks. So that's pretty cool so far.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. And I know that the Fourth Doctor does a kind of like their a Genesis of the Daleks episode. I mean, it seems like the Daleks and the there's a couple other Doctor Who classic enemies that the Cybermen, yep.
Yeah, the Daleks and the Cybermen are all through it. Every doctor has to deal with them.
Excellent. So, yeah, I think we'll definitely be keeping that up going. And, of course, when the new Godzilla movie comes out, I'm actually going to be seeing that with Boo. So I will be – it'll definitely be giving one very in-depth review of the new Godzilla flick when that comes out. And anything else that we looking into. I may also work on a couple video game reviews, but I'm not really sure just yet. I'm still kind of like in limbo at the moment. I'm working on another huge project, and if that goes through, it's going to be fantastic. And I can't talk about it right now because it's a secret. So we'll definitely see how that goes. So is there anything you wanted to add, Carl?
No, that's basically all that I have.
All right, awesome. Yep, same here. Because it's 9 o'clock at night and I've got to get up at four. We call the ass crack of dawn, aka 4:45 tomorrow morning. I think we're actually gonna end it here and call it an evening. We appreciate everybody, every one of our listeners, or if there's more than one, we appreciate all of you, all of you too. And
so before we go, Doc, let's just do a quick what's coming up now. Chrissy has a show tomorrow, and they're going to be doing a show from novel to film, which should be really good. Friday, we're going to do a show with, well, do you want to talk about Joey or should I?
Oh, we both can. We have a mutual friend named Joey Vento. He is an absolute awesome guy, and he has what is called the Haunted Barn. Now, and he also puts on film viewing events, and the Haunted Barn is his collection of movie memorabilia for the last 55 years or so. And I've seen it in person, and I'll tell you what, my jaw has hit the floor so hard it went through the floor and hit the basement. I'm so blown away by Joey's collection. Him and his family are just so sweet, and they put on some really cool events. This weekend, they're actually doing a viewing of Lolita. And I have never seen Lolita. It's not exactly my cup of tea because, you know, I'm the horror guy, horror and monster. So I thought I'd definitely go and, you know, visit with Joey and family and enjoy the movie. Now, this is going to be a seat of my pants thing because I'm going to be zipping down. He lives about 4.5 hours away from where I am. So I'm going to drive all the way down Saturday and try and make it back Saturday night. So we're going to see how that goes. Because $250 a night for a hotel is a little bit freaking insane. And that because of where location down near New York City, plus, you know, it's Memorial Day weekend, I can't do it, unfortunately, because his money's really tight right now. So we'll get that all figured out. And I'll definitely have a review of Lolita next week. Oh, this is going to be interesting.
Okay. And there you go. Oh, yes. Yeah. I've seen both versions. Neither one is as good as the novel. So I'm a huge fan of the novel.
Right. And also on Sunday, on the Sludge Pit, we will be discussing and talking about the theater experience all the way from, I have the hiccups, I apologize, from music theater, movie theaters, drive-in movie theaters, and porno theaters. I have no experience with those, unfortunately, but I think somebody here might, and we'll talk about that. We'll talk about
certainly
that
do.
Sunday. Excellent.
Oh, yeah.
That's got to be so skeevy, but cool at the same time. We'll talk about it on Sunday.
Maybe we can get a special guest for that little segment. I'll see if I can do that, okay?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think that would be fantastic because she would probably – I think if – we're talking about she, right?
Yes, oh, yeah.
Okay, I think she would know more than both of us combined. All right. So, everybody, please tune in tomorrow to Chrissy's show, from novel to film, I think, which is going to be an awesome show because there's a lot of movies that made it to, or lots of novels that made it to film. And our show Friday with Joey Vento from the Haunted Barn. And Sunday, we're going to be talking about those theaters. All right. So thank you, everybody, for listening in. And we really appreciate everyone that says hello and all of our friends out there. So everyone, have a good night and sleep well. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone. Thank you, Doc.
And thank you, Carl.